Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Bald Movies Podcast. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
We just went and saw Sully, the... What are these type of movies called? It's not a documentary.
It's a disaster film. No one dies.
Right. It's not super disastrous. I mean, the Earth doesn't open up and swallow people.
But it's like, you know, it's like, you know, like those airline disasters, you know, like, I can't think of any of the originals, but I can think of the comedy send-ups, Airplane and Airplane 2.
Right. But then there's like the stuff they made about 9/11 and like all those kind of movies, which this is akin to those, I suppose.
I feel like it's like, again, its direct competitor is the Titanic. It's just everything happens, and they have to try really hard to generate negative drama.
Right. So I don't know how we're going to break this cast up. It's not spoilery to say that the main plot is a guy who pilots a plane that malfunctions into the Hudson River.
Yeah,
that's
born,
on the news.
If you're born in the last 15 years, you know who Sully is, Captain Sullenberger. And first of all, I guess, like, what do you think of this movie? Is it good? Would you say people should see it? Is it Oscar worthy?
It's not Oscar worthy. It's pretty good, though.
Wow.
I enjoyed it.
I thought
there was only one real big flaw with the movie, but kind of a necessary one.
I'm curious to see what you think that is. I'm totally in the tank for this movie. Like, I was outraged that they'd make like a tell all, like Sully did something wrong, because I've met the man. I saw him give like a he headlined a conference that I went to, and he was talking about, you know, like crisis management and all that stuff.
Starting his security firm, huh?
At that point, it was you know, I don't know whether just through speaking and his book tours and all that stuff. I don't know whether he was still doing that. I guess he was involved, because that's the other thing is like, you know, this guy in real life before this accident was involved in a lot of accident board reviews and doing some of the simulator work. And I met the guy, I got to shake his hand and speak with him for a little bit, and he was just so fucking impressive. And I thought, you know, back in the day, that was a really, like, you know, it was they talk about this in the movie, that this was like a wholly good thing that happened in the middle of a pretty shitty time in general. And and I was actually pleased to see that the movie in no way treats him as anything but, you know, is hero the right word? I think acceptable.
So. Yeah, I mean, sure. I'm going with hero.
The movie treats him as nothing less than a hero. A guy who did his, at the very least, a guy who did his job under heroic circumstances and saved a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I was crazy emotional during the whole fucking film, and I couldn't figure out why.
I think Tom Hanks' performance is really powerful. It's very low key. It is understated to the maximum, but that felt like it applied to this guy who you imagine as stoic under pressure.
Yeah.
And just entirely, I don't know. Stoic's the best word I can come up with.
I mean, this guy, I met him, I shook his hand, and I think that Tom Hanks does a decent job of kind of looking like him, but he doesn't sound like him at all. Like Sully's got this really silky, smooth, melodious voice. It's
like
very
Lando Calrissian?
And meeting him is like meeting a very fit, supremely confident and calming Santa Claus. Very sober and serious, confident and calming Santa Claus.
It's because of the pack of elves he keeps around him at all times.
I'm telling you, he's just like, I got like giddy talking to him in a way that I haven't ever meeting like most other celebrities. I said, I don't know if I'm
there's
fair
a difference.
To judge this.
Can I say there's a huge difference between a hero and a celebrity in my mind?
Sure.
Like a
Maybe
celebrity
is
just
is.
A person doing a job.
Maybe that's what it is.
Whereas a hero is someone who's performed admirably.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be that, just the difference there. Mm-hmm.
But I talked to Cecily because I noticed that she was sniffling through a lot of the movie too, and she never cries for shit. She cries apparently reading Harry Potter books and watching Harry Potter movies, and that's it. That is it.
Wow.
And she's like, I don't know what it was either, because it was almost like a happy sad all the time. Because it's like these like really brave, calm people doing their jobs diligently. And it wasn't just. It wasn't just Sully. It was that, you know, like they do a good job about, like, you know, the stewardesses and the passengers and like the dock workers and the cops and the ferry drivers and everybody just, you know, did their job just right and nipped this disaster in the bud.
Yeah, and I definitely felt it. It was getting maybe slightly dusty in the room.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you know, tearing up or anything.
Adjusting
but,
for your standard operating parameters,
right?
Pretty emotional.
I'm an Android, so yeah, definitely.
If we put 17 normal men in the simulator of watching this movie,
they never account for the.
How many
Android
of them
factor?
Walk out with dry cheeks?
None
I would
them.
Submit none of them.
But yeah, I definitely feel what you're saying. It was. Because it's pretty easy, I think, to put yourself in the position of the passengers, right?
Yeah.
And to take a look at this guy and see what he did.
They do a good job of that, too.
And you can feel that when you're in the theater, yeah.
Yeah, like they showed, like, you know, maybe a dozen, half dozen passengers, and, like, you experience the whole, fuck, I'm going to die. Like,
yeah.
I'm texting my wife, I love you dearly, and I'm,
right.
you know.
If you didn't, it wouldn't be an airplane crisis movie.
Right, but except for everyone, like, I wonder what's the experience of being those 155 people. That, like, you know, one of those things where it's not like cancer and you beat it because you went through 6 months of hell or a mm-hmm. year of hell, but, like, this thing where, like, no, you're going to die. It's an airline crash, and here's New York whizzing past you. And then you're going down in freezing cold water,
mm-hmm.
and then you're fine. Like, the emotions you'd feel like that, I don't know. I thought it was, I wonder if it will get serious Oscar buzz, especially depending on, you know, what the rest of the year looks like. Like, I feel uh-huh. like it's going to get a because here's the thing. Clint Eastwood directed it.
Right.
Tom Hanks is in it looking like the supremely confident, calming Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
The movie's median age tonight, it was well attended.
109.
Yes. And I also want to talk a little bit after we're done the movie about the level of respect of this audience compared to your average teenage audience.
Really? Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, it might be controversial, but I got some shit. I got some shit to talk about these baby boomers because I was appalled.
Oh, okay. Good. Good.
No,
I thought you were going to go.
Oh, no. Oh,
okay,
no.
Okay. Thank you.
No, no.
Because the people behind me, oh, man.
No, no.
All right.
But the thing is, all those, what do we say about these Academy Award judges and the members of the Academy that actually watch this stuff and vote? They're all old as shit.
Right.
And this
true.
Is a movie
That's
about
true.
Grandpa saving the fucking day.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And it's I think that alone is going to make it go kind of bananas.
It could be. The more I think about it, the more I agree with you here. Because I was surprised pulling up to the theater how few people there were.
Right.
And
but
then when
everyone
I got
was
in
this theater.
Right. And I realized, oh, okay, it's a bunch of older people who
right.
are
yeah.
really into this.
Because this is fucking Jimmy Stewart and,
yeah.
you know, Dirty Harry back mm-hmm. when, you know, this is their generation making this film. And I think and it paints everyone in a very flattering light. And I think it's going to be eaten. I mean, I'm not immune to its charms. I thought it was fucking awesome.
Sure.
But yeah, I think it's going to do very well because of the demographic and the fact that it's like the other thing is like it was at the end of the movie when I was looking at the reel because you know this isn't a spoiler, but during the credits they show like real footage of like the actual crash, and that's the other incredible thing about this crash is. You can listen to the cockpit, or you can go. There's like several websites that have the whole thing, and they'll sync it up to like the flight plan, and you can see like in like this New York dock security footage, the fucking plane plowed into the water. Like you can see it, and like when Sully was given the presentation, part of it was he played that whole voice cockpit reporter while he was sitting up there,
mm-hmm.
just staring at us. Like, and it was, I don't know, it was an incredible experience. Where's I going with this? The special effects, they're just real.
Like, sure. This is not a fantasy movie where you go, Wolverine's claws don't look quite right.
No, when I finally saw the end movie, I'm like, holy shit. At no point did I ever question anything with this was real. Like, there's no way they put a real plane in the water and, like, all that stuff. It was just, like, utterly convincing.
Right.
And which is kind of neat to see.
In a way that Titanic wasn't quite because the tech wasn't there yet.
I mean,
for its day, right.
I don't know. Like, and of course, this is, you know, remind yourself in 10 years, listen to this podcast, see if it changed. But I don't see how you can get more convincing.
Right.
Like, I don't think this movie's ever going to age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's already set in, you know, a decade in the past. And, like, it's like you can already see the subtle kind of fashion that they did with some of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I thought the movie was great.
People are going to look at those cockpit simulations go, oh, man.
Yeah.
Those are real shitty.
I know.
I can't believe they ever used those horrible things.
Right.
That's nothing like flying a plane.
Right. But they were, you know, probably amazing for the day. I wonder if they look
right.
significantly better because, like, they do the job. They got all the, they got all the buildings over, like, two stories modeled and,
mm-hmm.
But no, I, Okay, so what's your do we want to say I feel like we've covered the movie. Maybe we should get to the spoiler section.
Yeah, I think so. Do we want to get to trailers first?
Do you want to talk shit about the not quite Greatest Generation first?
Not quite Greatest Generation?
Yeah, the baby boomers. These folks were the worst. And like they're for the first 30 minutes it wasn't bad, but once one of them started with the this is going to be super offensive, but I swear to God this is accurate.
Uh-huh.
One guy started with the commentary, and it's like I was watching a commentary for DVDs for idiots. Like, a person would say, and they did this very well, too, like, person would say, you know, this city hasn't had a lot of good experiences, especially involving airplanes.
Uh-huh.
Hey, he's talking about 9/11!
Right.
That actually happened.
Yep.
Would you do anything different, first officer? Yeah, I would have landed in July. Because it was super cold that day. That every 5 minutes, these inane, like, yes, we get it.
I swear the guy behind me either didn't want his wife or girlfriend or something to think he was dumb or thought she was supremely dumb, because there's a moment where
I think it's
Sully's
both.
Like, questioning whether he did the right thing, and he's like, oh, he's second guessing himself.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, he fucking is. That's what the point of the scene was.
And like, 30 minutes in, this guy starts yammering and like emboldened them all. So they're like, hey, we're all deaf in here. Let's turn off our hearing aids and just talk at maximum. It was everyone.
Reading stuff off the screen verbatim.
I haven't been this. And that's the thing. I had the worst fucking experience as an audience. I still love the movie. I couldn't believe how, and I get it that this is like, I'm not saying that this is all old people.
Right.
And the guy behind you, I look back because I'm like, I'm going to fucking tell this guy to shut the fuck up. We're like, I usually walk out and demand a refund. I got to do a fucking podcast. And I I'm committed now. I'm going to tell him. And I look and he's like 68 years old or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I just have to pretend this entire audience is Vietnam vets.
Right.
With shrapnel in their body and Gold Star mothers, because if not, I'm going to lose their fucking mind. But I swear to God, I'm not saying it's all old people, but every old people in Batavia in this theater was the worst.
They were.
The worst. Oh my God. There, I've said my piece.
All right. Time for trailers, yeah?
Yes. First off, just for, because it's, I don't know, I like to talk about some other stuff here too. We got there early and got the first look with Maria Munoz.
Felt a little different this time.
Did it?
The YouTube red stuff did not play like I expected.
Huh. I didn't even notice it.
Because don't they usually do a lot of whole YouTube series and all this stuff? But this felt like they might have modified it for the audience. They knew
They don't know who what YouTube is.
Right. And they wouldn't give a shit if they did.
Right. Just hit him with PewDiePie. Might have killed him.
Oh, God. Might have killed me.
PewDiePie Markiplier. You know what? I'd preferred their fucking commentary, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But there's this new TNT series called Good Behavior starring Michelle Dockery. If you don't know that, that's Mary from Downton Abbey. Super not in an English accent. She's just doing, like...
She English?
Oh, yeah.
She is?
She's super English. There was a thread in our forums about, like, Brits or Americans tired of them yet, and they're talking about, like, you know, essentially they're taking our jobs.
Sure.
But yet, it's so weird. Like, why are we hiring British actresses to play...
Why not? If they can pull it off.
I guess. I like her, and, like, you know, we've got, you know, Downton Abbey's been ably covered by our compatriots Tom and Kelly. We took a stab at it one season. I love the show. I'm probably going to watch it just to see Michelle Dockery, but...
This trailer
out there.
Is this a trailer I'm thinking of where the tone of the music did not at all match?
It was weird.
The visuals and what was going on in the plot.
Yeah, it was kind of dramatic, but then a camel toe would be in her face and she would mug for the camera like, aye!
And it was this very dramatic music that didn't fit the tone.
It looks like
at all.
A mess, but it's still Michelle Dockery, so.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Fanta commercial? That I think its position is, if you bring in outside food and beverage in the form of Fanta, that
better bring enough for everyone.
That you can sneak into the movie just by giving the usher a swig of your Fanta,
and you get a sweet dance from him too.
Yeah, I don't know that it'd be like if we opened up our podcast with people saying, hey, you know what? You don't have to join the club for shit. You can actually pirate this stuff, go to, you know. Like,
right.
I'm not sure I'd run that ad.
Well,
plus, it's Fanta.
Theater employees get paid in concessions anyway. So, it's just
unofficially?
More. Yeah.
Other thing I wanted to ask you about is, did you notice that there's going to be a special Fathom event for the Snowden film that we're covering anyway?
Oh, right. It's like a preview
thing. Well,
and a live...
has interview with...
session with...
like, what is it? Oliver Stone that's doing this?
I don't know for sure.
But it has interview with the... who's the
singing, dancing, talented guy?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. There you go. There you go. It has him and the director. I thought that might be something cool that we could put together.
Uh-huh.
First up, did we talk about this? Because I know we've seen this trailer, but I wasn't sure if it's something me and Cecily saw or we all saw it together. But The Accountant.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah.
So did we talk about this last time? Because I don't remember talking about it.
We may have. I remember thinking this is Ben Affleck's attempt to try and be Jason Bourne.
It's essentially Jason Bourne with Asperger's.
Right, yeah.
Which is a really
weird Jason
hook.
Bourne meets Good Will Hunting.
No, Rain Man.
Okay, yeah, meets Rain Man. With a little bit of Rain Man in there, yeah.
He's got some kind of... He's on the spectrum, as we say.
Sure.
And but he's also an international accountant, assassin, hitman.
Right. As you do.
It's got John Bernthal.
Yeah, looks cool.
You Shane lovers got Anna Kendrick.
Imagine we'll probably be seeing that.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it comes out, but another brand new one, Collateral Beauty, starring Will Smith, Ed Norton, Kate Winslet, Helen Mirren, who stars as the personification of death, mm-hmm. who's visiting a bereaved father, Will Smith, and having some kind of. It feels very much like this is a what's that Jimmy Stewart movie? It's a Wonderful Life kind of thing,
right? Yeah. Visited by all of his, it feels like a night before, not Night Before Christmas, right. Scrooge.
It's Collateral Beauty, but it's subtitled Oscar Bait.
Right. I'm probably going to be a sucker for this one. I like when Will Smith gets all somber.
I do too.
Like, I loved, one of my favorite movies of all time, Pursuit of Happiness, is incredible, and this is probably right up my alley.
The other person's got Keira Knightley in it too.
Yeah.
Pretty big cast. I thought it looks cool. An extended, a new trailer for Deepwater Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
It looks slightly better than I, assume. But still, I just, as much as I wanted to see the Sully movie, I don't want to see Deepwater Horizon.
Okay.
Because I guess, like, let's say some people lived, some people died, and the entire Gulf of Mexico got fucked up.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the opposite of Sully counting 155 and being like, job well done.
Right. But he's got a daughter. Got a daughter.
That's what I'm
Aaron.
Saying. Like, I could be proven to be a huge asshole, and this is an inspirational story, and, you know, but it's like, wow.
It's kind of tainted.
It is. Yeah. It's tainted. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like if Apollo 13... they got him home, but they had to eject a nuclear reactor that landed on China and killed a million people.
Right.
Like, I'm glad we got Tom Hanks and Kevin Bacon home, but also the million Chinese guys, like, you know, except for this time we're talking about, like, ducks and fish and shit.
Also important.
What do you think about Woody Harrelson's, I know he's not the star, it's actually a young girl that I've I don't know, because I'm not on any kind of government sex offender list. It's called The Edge of 17.
Looked okay.
I mean,
looked all right, actually.
Like,
and if I was younger, sure.
If it's just 16 Candles, every generation needs those movies. Maybe it's going to be like a Mean Girls, where it's like something that a guy like me would be interested in. But yeah.
It does kind of irk me when they have, you know, pretty good looking girls whining about how unpopular and ugly they are.
Well,
because they're fucking movie stars, and no movie star can be actually ugly unless you're Paul Giamatti.
Sure.
But,
and even he
is,
he's
still,
not hideous.
He's borderline.
He's charming though.
He is. But yeah, so that's the only thing that irks me about it. But I don't know, looked okay.
Okay. So there you go. I think that's all we got for the non-spoiler material. We do have a spoiler-filled review, which I don't know how long we'll go. Like, I feel like I could either talk for 5 or 50 minutes on this segment. We'll see. If you want to listen to that, though, you got to be a Club Bald Move member. Everybody else, enjoy the free review. This is going to start off our winter series, our fall early winter series. We start with Sully. Next week, Snowden. A week after that, the week of the 23rd, Magnificent Seven. Then on 10/7, we're taking Birth of a Nation. At 10/14, Desertio.
That's going to be a heavy month. Jesus.
Really? Well, no, that's
a movie about slaves and a movie about,
yes, about
hunted Mexican immigrants.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oof. That's going to be maybe not as uplifting. 11-4 November starts Doctor Strange. Then we have 11-11 The Arrival, or Arrival, rather, which is a sci-fi movie. And then 11-18 Cecily and I are going to take in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. You're welcome. But I doubt you attend. And then we only have the one movie so far in December. Might be the only one because we kind of shut down for the core holidays. On 12/16, Rogue One, the new Star Wars story, Star Wars adjacent story.
Yep.
So yeah, let's go into the spoiler section. If you want to join the club, club.baldmove.com. It's as little as a buck a month, and you get extra features like the one that you could enjoy if you were already a club member. All you club members, we'll see you in the spoiler section.